This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 390. This is the sequel to the prequel. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast. Panda, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm recovering.
I know.
I'm still in recovery. Oh, my body was ready. Wait, no. My soul was ready, but my body was like, no! Because I have returned home from E3 triumphantly, by the way, but oh, do I ache in places. I forgot.
Ache in places one should never have wasabi?
Yeah, that is accurate. That is definitely accurate. I forgot that I was not 20. And
you were 20 once.
I was 20 once. I forgot that, not twice. But it was a great show. I have to say that I was very, very happy with a lot of things that I saw at E3 last week. I know Panda has been covering it from the couch.
Yep.
And checking out all kinds of news and things. So, as promised, this is our E3 wrap podcast. And by wrap, I don't mean that this is the only time that we're going to be talking about E3, because we're going to be talking about everything we saw and touched and who we talked to for months, because there are a lot of things that are happening in 2014.
So many things.
And this holiday. And a lot more to come in 2015. So without further ado, I'm going to jump into some things that I didn't expect at E3 that popped up that I was really happy to see.
Like what?
New Tomb Raider game.
Yes.
So I know that Crystal Dynamics has been working on a game because the last Tomb Raider was ridiculously successful and was a phenomenal experience. And to be honest with you, you know, when we saw the Definitive Collection come out, that's what many of us thought Crystal had been hard working at, and not at all that they were working on a brand new outing. But they announced Rise of the Tomb Raider, and I thought the trailer was really interesting for the game. Panda, I don't know if you had a chance to check it out.
I think that's one of the last ones that I saw, and it was late at night, and I was half asleep, so I'm going to say no.
Okay, because it was part of the Microsoft media briefing, I think. They're all kind of running together for me now at this point, but I think it was Microsoft. And it starts with a character, obviously, in a therapy session. And then once flashbacks started to happen, I was like, oh my god, this is a Tomb Raider game. Because some of the flashes were like falling in the water and the traumatic archery, killing someone piece. And I was like, are they serious?
So are we pretty much probably getting like the piece right after the incident?
Yep.
We're seeing how she's dealing with everything that she's went through.
Accepting it. Exactly. And so it's called Rise of the Tomb Raider, and I think this is where Lara starts, you know,
strongly investing in, this is my calling, this is what I'm going to do.
This is the skill set that I have now. This is an interest that I have now. This is something I can do, so I'm going to do it. And kind of coming to terms with that, gripping it and embracing it is what I think, just from what they've hinted at in the trailer, Rise of the Tomb Raider is going to be about. And Lara looks badass as always. Nice leather jacket going on. And it ends with her with a light beacon in her hand looking into a cave. So, you know, the Tomb Raider stance that we know is many games of Lara with her light stick investigating a tomb is how the trailer ends. So it's a perfect homage to the whole franchise, and the spirit of the franchise. And I was really surprised because, again, I thought that we were really probably another year away, if not two, from another Tomb Raider
like
game.
I was actually expecting that possibly we'd see some, like, deep DLC that would hint at what they were moving next to. Like, I thought they were going to leave decent breadcrumbs to let their fan base, like, piece things together for themselves. But this, I'm surprised, but I'm happy surprised.
I was pleasantly surprised by
especially that one. Because, you know, when Tomb Raider initially came out, you know, Square had such a high hope for its numbers that when it didn't reach that goal, everyone was just like, well, that's a flop. Well, if it's a flop, I hope this one's a flop in that standard, too. Not a bad flop,
but like
a...
Tomb Raider was not a flop.
What no, was... but Square Enix was like, we wanted to sell this many, and you didn't sell this many, so we consider you a flop because we're Square.
Yeah, no, they just need to not be silly.
They need to learn when something is good. Not all things can be astronomically great. Not that I'm saying that Tomb Raider wasn't astronomically great, because I feel like it was the reboot that we needed, not the reboot they wanted in terms of development.
So you went all Batman on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I totally did, and that's okay. It's more than okay. But I like where this is going. Because, I mean, in the initial games way back in the day, you know, all we knew is, you know, she was rich. And she just had all this time and all this knowledge and resources to just go dig in dirt in other countries. But now we're going to get all that intricate story that's going to make her so much more believable as a character. Like, we're really going to get why she does this. Like, now it's a finite part of her that... For her to exist, she has to do this. And that is what is so enticing about it, at least for me. I mean, I can't speak for you.
No, I'm just psyched that we're going to have another Crystal Dynamics outing with Lara. Because that last game was just enjoyable from beginning to end.
It was fucking Stormguard.
The story was solid.
Yes.
The gameplay mechanics were fantastic. I had no issues with the camera. So it was just an enjoyable and frankly immersive experience. And there was some difficulty and some finesse and nuances that caused me frustration in some places, but not like rage quit type frustration.
I had to take breaks.
So I was really, really glad to see the new Tomb Raider game.
Like six. I had to take like six breaks.
So, big ups to keeping that one under wraps, because that was really a surprise. You know, typically going into media briefings, about 10 minutes before the media briefing, you pretty much, because of air quotes here, people, leaks, know all of the things that are about to be announced at the media briefing, which takes a little bit of the magic out of it as a gamer and a fan of the genre. But I have to say, like, there were some mad, mad exciting things in Microsoft's media briefing, which, by the way, if you didn't listen to the Gamertag Radio podcast episode this week that I was on the roundtable for, I picked Microsoft as my winner of media briefings, and frankly, as far as show goes, just taking it.
Really?
Yeah, because for a couple of reasons, and I'm working on a feature that you're going to see on egmnow.com/electricsisterhood in the coming weeks, but one, they have the most exclusives dropping in 2014.
That's very true.
Okay? That's a big thing, to be a year into your console and to have more than 10 exclusive titles dropping by holiday of 2014, that's huge. That's huge. And a big chunk of them are games that I want to play. So that's number one. Number two, Crackdown 3.
I know. Crackdown
3.
The minute, yeah.
Crackdown 3.
That's exactly what happened after she...
Okay, ready? Crackdown 3.
Yeah.
All right?
She was like, hey, Panda.
Like, seriously, Panda was at her day job, and I texted her, and I was like, Crackdown 3.
And I was like, okay.
Photo! Okay.
I'm like, oh, great.
But Crackdown 3.
We get
huzzah.
It.
Huzzah. Just in case you missed it, though. But just in case you missed it. And one that really fucking surprised me, Phantom Dust. Like, that yes. One came out of nowhere. Yep. Okay, like, that was...
I got, like, 8 texts.
Dude.
About that.
So, when they started talking about, you know, reviving old franchises, in my heart of hearts, and like DCD was like, it's gonna be Battletoads. And don't get me wrong,
we need a
fucking Battletoads reboot, okay?
I mean, we're finally getting an Amplitude, why not a Battletoads?
But in my heart of hearts, I was really hoping that it was gonna be a Conker game.
Really?
I like Bad for a Day. Mm. And Conker is, for me, basically like the anti-Sonic, okay? It's just a badass fucking furball who cusses and likes boobs.
All like, boobs? Like human boobs and furry boobs? Oh, yeah. Boobs?
And so it's just like, I love that kind of anti-hero hero. So I was really hoping that it would be a Conquer game, because I feel like one of the things that is missing on the Xbox, really and truly, is a, not a platform-making platform game, but they need a platformer character that is undeniably Xbox. Like, when you think Mario, you can't help but think Nintendo. And if you think Nintendo, you can't help but think Mario as true. A platformer. You don't really have that on the Xbox side of the world.
You're right.
And I think that Conker is enough of a badass of a character to do that for the Xbox, for the hardcore gamers that tend to gravitate towards the platform to be like, yeah, that's my platformer. I'm not a Mario Sunshine guy. I'm a Conker guy.
Mario Sunshine is not wonderful.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
You need a badass character. It can't just be shits and giggles. for the
it
Xbox.
It can't be a happy galaxy where you don't need to have air to breathe when you're a human.
But let's talk about Phantom Dust for a minute. So I had Phantom Dust back in the day on my Xbox. It was one of the games that I got because I came to the Xbox a little bit late in life. I needed Microsoft to convince me to get their box. And once I did, I picked up a lot of pre-owned games, mad cheap. And Phantom Dust was one of them. And Phantom Dust is one of those games that I typically don't play because the description almost killed it for me, because it's like, it's kind of like a card-based game.
Oh, that's so not it's the way to say it.
Right. And so I'm like, but it was only $3, so I'll get around to it. But when I started playing the game, I was instantly hooked into it. And I think that that's what happened for a lot of people. So in the game, basically, something has happened to Earth, and the world, basically, on top of ground, above ground, is uninhabitable. Okay, and so humanity is now living underground.
So it's like Metro Last Light?
Yeah, kind of. But everybody that lives underground has lost a big chunk of their memories, so they have no idea as to why the top land is uninhabitable. But there are some humans that have the ability to manipulate dust that is left on the planet. And they're called Espers.
Of course.
And so basically what you do in the game is you build up skills, which are your cards, in order to have battles with other Espers in the hopes of basically figuring out all that has happened and righting the wrong.
So it's Metro Last Light plus Memento plus Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yeah. Not so much, because you don't really trade the cards, but you find new ones and beep up your shit.
It's Memento plus Metro Last Light plus Persona?
Kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of.
All right.
Yeah, kind of.
That's a good mix.
And so it was a real interesting game in, you know, discovering and trying to find more skills and up the ones that you have. And the battle system was really good. And frankly, I thought the story was good, too, because it was Edgar who had found this locket, and there are photos in it. And one of the photos is of another freelance Esper, Freya, and they did figure out that she's the person in the locket, and they're trying to figure out why. It was just, basically, Phantom Dust was way before its time. It's like one of those games that probably should have been on the Dreamcast because it was so ahead of the time at the time when it came out, which is why it had a real, real small cult following.
Right.
So when the trailer started and I'm watching the battle, I'm like, oh, what is like Square working on now? Like, that was my first thought. And then as I'm watching these two characters, like, in my head, I'm like,
I've seen this.
Not that I've seen this, but I'm like, I feel like I've seen this. And then the trailer popped up, and I'll tell you what, if I didn't have my computer on my lap with my Nikon camera, I would have just jumped up and started a slow clap in my section, because Phantom Dust really and truly was a game that really only appealed to a very small niche of the gaming community. Like, it had online play, which was crazy at the time, because not a lot of Microsoft games at the time had online play. So I was super fucking excited to see that they were bringing a Phantom Dust and just trying to wrap my mind around what that would play like now on the system. Dude. So I had a lady boner, I'm not gonna lie.
Massive lady rager.
I mean, it wasn't massive, but
it made her pants stiff.
I totally had a lady boner.
You should have more of them.
You know, throughout E3, I did.
Oh, I bet. To be honest, you were very sore from all the lady boners.
Dude, you don't even know. So, that was a big one for me. And like I said, Crackdown 3. So, Crackdown 3, I was the only person in my section losing their shit early. Because, first of all, I love Crackdown. I own every Crackdown
really,
game.
Really? You love Crackdown?
We played Crackdown together. And we had a ball. You can't deny that.
I enjoyed Crackdown.
Okay. So, we played Crackdown 2 together. Yes. And had a blast.
It was
like
fun.
Getting our cars souped up and shit like that and blowing things up and scaling buildings in a single bound. That was awesome.
And somehow getting tanks to fall on top of themselves like turtles.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was skill.
Yeah. That was pretty boss, actually.
I still don't know
how you did that, but it was pretty boss.
That seems to be my MO. I do these things that people are not supposed to be
able to
do.
You're a superhuman gamer. I don't know.
I should be a tester.
So as I'm watching the trailer, because the voice doesn't start at first at the briefing, you see I can't remember if it was a case closed or something, and then you see the agent symbol. And as soon as I saw that symbol, I was like, fuck yes, Crackdown. And KBD, who was sitting next to me, was like, what? And Robert Workman goes, seriously, Crackdown? I'm like, dude, it's Crackdown. Then the trailer proceeds to go. So if you haven't had a chance to watch the Microsoft briefing, I'm telling you right now, you really should. And I believe you still can on your Xbox 360 or Xbox One. Also, if you own a PlayStation, you can still watch the PlayStation briefing on your PSN through the network. But anyway, the moment that trailer went off, it's just action-packed. You see all these different agents running around the city in these super cel-shaded 3D, kind of like Digimon-type animation that is Crackdown now. And basically, to get this one guy in this ridiculously tall skyscraper, these guys, four agents together, orchestrate using a tanker covered in explosives to demolish the building next to it to hit him, to blow up that building, to kill the guy. And it's just so over the top and so Crackdown that when the voiceover comes in and starts talking about different vehicles and different attack modes and all the blowy uppy stuff, you just want to slow clap. You just want to slow clap it out. And another lady boner there on Crackdown 3. And I can't wait to get my hands on that one because it's more Crackdown. And the big thing about Crackdown, if you've never played it, is that it is a open world platformer, very much like the part of Saints Row 4 where you are building up your abilities in the digital world to be superhero-like. That's basically what all of Crackdown is various missions that you run through, races that you do to earn power-ups to outfit your agent to make them the super agent in order to bring order out of the chaos that's going on around you. What'll be interesting to see is how co-op and multiplayer work. Because I have a feeling, since they were showing so many different agents, that one of the things that you will be able to do in the game is have more than just co-op play, that you'll have true multiplayer in the game, which will just take that kind of chaos and the open worldness to a whole new level of cray-cray, which I'm all about. I'm very excited about. So those are a couple of surprises from the Microsoft camp that really kind of took me aback a little bit, but also gave me a lady boner, which was kind of cool. I really was not impressed by EA.
I don't think a lot of people, all I heard from EA was sports, balls, feelings, balls, sports.
Don't forget Sims.
Sims. Sports.
There's a lot of Sims, a lot of sports, and not a lot of what I really was hoping for from them, which was Mirror's Edge 2, which they had an announcement trailer for, and then that was like it.
Hey, we made Faith look better. Look.
Yay.
Look.
Mirror's Edge. All right, going back to sports and feelings.
Sports!
And don't forget Sims. Whee!
Faith runs like the people in the sports games.
I was really kind of disappointed by that. But, hey, they're making Mirror's Edge, too. All right?
We're getting it.
We're getting it. So, I can't be too upset. But I really did feel a little let down because I wish that they had done more than just the trailer on Mirror's Edge. I would have loved to have seen some gameplay, even if it wasn't live. So, that was a little bit of a letdown for me. Yubi brought it. Like, when I was trying to pick my winner, it really was between Microsoft and Yubi, because Yubi was tight from beginning to fucking end.
Agreed.
First of all, Assassin's Unity, which I went hands-on with, you will have a big fucking feature for me this week on EGM.
It's so big.
No, so here's the big things about Unity. There's no load screens in Unity. I'll give you a second to absorb that.
So there's no little emblem flashing in a corner?
There's no load screens in Assassin's Creed Unity. None. When you transition from dialogue, planned dialogue, and gameplay, there it's not FMV.
Oh.
It's run real time in the engine. So there's no pause to load the FMV into the FMV, pause to come out, and then you go back into gameplay. It is seamless. Okay? There's no, when you go into a building, pause for a second while it loads the people in the building, and they run their little predestined paths and skits. Doesn't happen. When you pop the game in, everything is loaded and preloaded for you at that time. So every building, regardless of whether or not you're in it, has NPCs in it that are doing their thing. So there's no transition. There's no loading in Assassin's Creed Unity. Okay?
But it's going to be really big, right?
It's huge. I am not looking forward to the install that you have to do before you play Unity. Because it's going to be big.
It could be so bad.
It's going to be like, probably maybe like 9-10 gigs.
That's a lot.
Maybe, did you get, like, I don't know. That's one thing that they would not give me a quote on. But I have to imagine, in order to preload that kind of world, because it is completely open,
it's so
open, it's got to be big to preload it. Additionally, in order to make the experience more immersive, you do not have to go to your map. So you don't have to go pause and go out to the map.
You don't?
To figure out where you need to go next. No. So one of the things that they really wanted was to bring back that sense of, as an assassin, you should be on the rooftops. Which is one of the things that we really got away from in Revelations, and then almost completely away from in Black Flag.
Yes.
Because there are lots of guards and things like that on the rooftops. So you were better working around on the ground or on the sea.
That doesn't seem very natural for an assassin, though.
And that's one of the things that they took from the community feedback and changed. So now when you go to the rooftops, which they want to really drive the player when they're not engaged in dialogue with somebody, you know, peasant or things like that on the street, to be on the rooftops, is when you hit the rooftops and you're in a calm state, all of the map icons with location indicators appear in your view line. So you can see where your next assassin mission is, your next secondary mission is, viewpoints. And so basically the rooftops become your map for navigating that. So you don't have to pause and come out of the game, which feels much more natural as an assassin. To be on the rooftops and be like, all right, so my next steps are. And so you now have the whole vista. So you can choose from the rooftops where you want to go. So you don't ever come out of the experience of being an assassin in the game. Love that. And then multiplayer. So I didn't get to go hands-on with multiplayer, but I was treated to a demonstration with multiplayer. I gotta tell you.
Please do.
It is impressive. So the co-op four-player multiplayer. So not the versus, like, the multiplayer that we've had in previous Assassin's games, but this is, you have a mission, and now your friends, as full-blown assassins themselves, can pop into your game and support you is impressive. The demo that I was treated to, we were basically going to fuck this guy's shit up. He was really bad. He was just killing people that he shouldn't. Bad guard.
Oh, he was a guard.
Yep. No, I'm sorry. I'm getting them confused. This guy was like a marquee and was inside of a building while all these guards were outside. Yep, and all these
anger presents were outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Bitching and moaning, and you and your crew
have to infiltrate the mansion without being detected.
To throw him out there.
Yeah.
Actually, when I was watching that trailer, I literally was doing my From the Couch stuff, and I was like, guys, pretty much like on Twitter, I'm like, I feel like Ubi's kind of lying to me, because after you get the guy, you get the marquee, and you throw him out, because he's trying to bribe you to not, because these are just peasants, they don't really matter. Yep. But obviously, that's not something you say to someone who's come to get you for that sole purpose.
Correct.
And when they throw the marquee out, they pretty much, the mob lynches him and literally lops his head off, which is definitely exactly what happened to that particular count, that particular marquee, because this is rooted in history.
Yes.
They got their researchers out there to do that work.
Which they've been doing great research the entire Assassin's lineage, though. Yeah.
So it's very accurate.
It's just that now it's in their backyard because it's French history. Yeah.
And but when they lop off his head and then they put it on the spike, pike, because they do that, you see the last bits of what the Marquis sees. And I didn't realize that that's what happens when your head gets cut off, that your eyes and stuff can still see.
Yeah, because there's still blood coursing through your stuff.
So I was like, guys, I'm like, I feel like when your head gets lopped off, you can't. Like,
Nope, you have a few seconds. Depending upon how it's done, there's a few seconds of consciousness. So some of
my tech friends who were familiar with this were like, no, you usually have a couple of moments of them, the eyes still fluttering.
Because there's still oxygen and blood flowing to the brain. Yeah. So there's that sensory stuff is still going on for a few seconds.
And then...
Yes, it's accurate. It is accurate.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I was like, that's...
And by the way, that is not a trailer. That was actual gameplay.
That's really effing neat.
Yeah. That is not FMV. That is how the level completes.
Wait, so do you get to take control of the peasant?
So once you chuck him down, you watch the people grab the body, and then the camera changes, and you then see through the marquee's eyes for the last few seconds, and then that's how the mission ends. The camera comes up, and then it gives you your rating for all the things that you did. So one of the things that's really impressive is that with the engine that they're using, the control and the things that they're able to do with NPCs, it's very impressive. So one of the levels that the hands-on piece that I did, and you probably saw it because it was treated in Microsoft's briefing, I believe, was the guy that you scale the cathedral in order to kill him, who's running the guillotine.
Yes.
Okay, so that all runs in real time. And one of the things that once you get to the top of the cathedral before you're about to jump on top of the guillotine and then take the guy out, is that there are about 1,300 individual characters that are on the screen that all have independent movement and AI that are mapped to them. And they all react to what's going on in your screen. So when we did the kill, the gentleman who was treating me first to the demo and then let me play the game... told me specifically, watch the audience, because there will be some members of the audience who, you know, were all for taking down the aristocracy. They're not going to run away because they're not scared of the violence, but people who are will, and they'll run in different directions, and some of them will run into each other and knock them down. So it's not like just a mass herd of
them just exiting clearly out.
They all have individual paths. He goes, and when you play, when you do this level, I want you to pay close attention. It's not going to be the same map run as when I did it. And sure enough, it wasn't. It was a completely different map run when I did it to people who left, who didn't leave, what way that they took and what way they didn't. So there's a lot of power that's going into AC Unity. And it's all very beautiful. Even though it's an alpha, there were, at least in my hands-on and my demo run, no bugs.
I feel like... the fact that he was giving you that direction, because I mean, there's so many things that on the outside as consumers of product of video games that we don't look to.
Yeah, we miss.
You know, like there's so many things that go on in a game where you have to open doors. Like, there are so many different things that are going on that, you know, some people seriously overlook. So, I mean, the fact that he wanted to pay attention to that, you know, to pay that emphasis to all that work, because all of that code, all that time to make sure it was going to do different things every time, it must have been really hard to...
It's going to be a beast.
To score... And to be able to test and to make sure it's going to do it in the way that they... Like, there's so much to a game that is mind-boggling to
And that's one of the things that they wanted to really point out was the definition of next-gen and why this game is only possible on the PS4 and the Xbox One. Because they're the only systems that have the power to deliver this kind of realness and the detail. So I was excited for Unity when I first heard that it was leaked, because I am an Assassin's Creed franchise fan.
Oh, she is.
And I make no bones about it. I've never, ever done anything like that. I'm not trying to be biased about it, but what I saw with Unity was really tight. If you enjoy action platform games, then you really should definitely take a look at Unity when it comes out this October. Yeah, don't forget that. It's this October that Unity drops. And if Pandalicious will agree to play with me, I may actually pick Unity up for the PlayStation 4 versus the Xbox One. You know, unless she decides to get an Xbox One for holiday.
Well, now...
Because if she gets an Xbox One for holiday, I will buy her a copy of Unity.
Well, to play I'm planning with me. On getting an Xbox One before holiday.
Then I will buy a copy of Unity if you play with me. I'm putting it on the podcast right now.
I know.
I will buy your copy of Unity for you.
You will not have to pay for this.
If you will play co-op multiplayer with me. I just put it out there, people.
Yes.
You heard me. I put it on the table.
Yes.
And what do we get for Panda?
Yes. Silence. I said yes. I've just said yes like 5 times.
I thought you were saying yes to me talking about putting it on the table.
No.
So you're saying, yes, you will play it.
Yes.
When I buy it for you.
Yes.
Done deal. I will buy that shit.
Yes. I will play it this
week. Because weekend. Unity.
Unity. But I want you to realize that I'm not as big of a...
You don't have to be.
No,
just,
no, no.
Just kill shit with me.
No, no, no. Just... Because remember, it took me forever to be... Not Brotherhood, but the third one. No, Brotherhood. Took me a while.
Was the third one.
Because I was having such a hard time with the wall.
But here's the thing. That's also different. So one of the things that was surprising is that you don't have to hunt for haystacks anymore to get off of buildings. And free running is much more natural now.
Okay.
So you can scale up a building a little bit easier using the free run than before. You will naturally gravitate towards edges, so you don't have to find them. It's basically just free running up, and it will find the edges and make the
pass
up.
Is there an edge here? Yes, you can go here.
But it also allows you to scale down the building.
Oh.
So you don't have to, like, walk around the building and try to find the haystack and jump into the haystack, which doesn't seem to make sense, because if you're jumping off the Cathedral of Notre Dame, you shouldn't be able to jump from the top steeple into a haystack and be fine. And also the haystack not break.
Physics tells
you not so much.
Every time I would play it and I would jump from something really high into it, I always thought of that scene from The Other Guys where Dwayne, The Rock Johnson, and Samuel L. Jackson are on top of a building and they look down and there are these two bushes.
Yeah.
And they're just like, see you on the other side. And they both just jump.
Yeah. And they completely miss
and die. And you realize halfway through that they're going to hit concrete and die.
Yeah. They're like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched a movie on the plane to LA and that was a good decision. Good life
choice. So whenever I see assassins jumping, that's what I'm like, one of them is going to miss and snap their neck. And
now you scale down the building in a natural way.
Oh, good. So I'm glad.
The edges and basically, in our piece, we went from the top of this church down to the ground in like 8 seconds, scaling it like parkour.
Okay.
And parkour is like a big thing.
Hardcore parkour!
Seriously, it is hardcore parkour. Like before you're like, free run, and I found a thing, and then I jumped off it, and I found a haystack. You seriously are parkouring like all over the place. You're using it to duck. Also, you are not just willy-nilly going to engage in battle with... guards, because there are some guards that are much more difficult to defeat. And part of the reason is because they're like, look, if we're going to give you the ability to, in co-op, bring in two or three other players,
then we have to make the NPCs and the baddies. They have to be smart enough to be able to figure,
you know. So you should selectively, both by yourself and in a group, choose when to engage a guard and things like that, because consequences do follow you. So, for instance, you know, thief chases, they'll pop up and you'll see people steal things, and you can determine whether or not you want to go after them. But if you catch them right in front of a guard, that guard is now going to investigate you. And if it's a royal guard, they're really difficult to kill by yourself, so you might be kind of fucked. So I love that they're adding all of that nuance on top of a truly, truly large open world environment. So Unity was definitely on my list.
Word! So, ask Unity. Whose timeline are we in for Unity? Are we in Connor's?
Yet. So, we weren't talking about whose timeline that we're in yet, or anything like that.
Because, I mean, like, there's all this great stuff, and that's wonderful, but, like, but who are we? And that's what Ubi wants you to do. They want you to ask, who are you? Yes, that's what they want you to do. And as I'm watching them, I'm like, this is all great, and I'm going to play it, but who are we? Why is this relevant?
It's all relevant.
Did he know Desmond? Were they buddies? Were they college buddies? Probably. Maybe. I'm just curious. I want the who.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get it.
We're going to get it this October.
Yep.
Something else we're also getting in October that I'm pretty pumped about.
Hit it.
Dragon Age Inquisition, y'all.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I unfortunately wasn't able to get to.
Hell fucking you! But I knew we were getting another Dragon Age at the end of Dragon Age 2. Knew it was happening, so, not to mention I'm also pretty glad that your lead Inquisitor is a lady. Yes. Granted, she rubs that baby oil on a little too deep for me. She's a little too glisteny. She could just be sweating the bullets of, you know, an Inquisition. I'd be sweating bullets if, like,
running the Inquisition is not, you know, a not stressful place.
It's
job.
Like, man, I have the stress sweats all the time.
Because I have to torture so many people.
Like, I have
people.
To ask you questions, and if you don't give me the right answers, I have to hurt you.
Into being...
It's like,
Catholic.
I have ulcers all the time because I can't sleep at night because I've had to kill so many of you. Oh, it's starting to hurt me right now. Like, come on. But I can't wait. Not to mention, the other thing that I'm really interested about this is not only can you be any race as this Inquisitor, but you can also be this Inquisitor as a Canary, which you couldn't play a Canary in the other games. Like, they were just... a race of people that you would have instances with, and maybe once or twice you had one helping you on a mission for if it seemed beneficial to them. But the fact they're allowing Canary to be playable in a sense is a very big thing in the Dragon Age world. Like being an elf in the first one was a big deal, not
right.
until the end, but you know, still spoilers. But that's coming in October this year. For across all the platforms, which I think is going to be great. I'm not sure if we're going to follow up right after Dragon Age 2. It kind of looks like we are, because at the end of Dragon Age 2, if you've played it, and I'm going to assume that you are because I'm going to talk about it as it stands now.
Right.
The Templars were all like, we got to get rid of all the mages, and the mages were like, hell no, we're going to fight back. Revolt happens in Kirkwall, where if you do things right, you're the champion, and everyone wants to suck your D or your
They
want to
S that D.
They want to S that D, or they want to rub that V all the time. And at the end, you have to decide whose side you're on, so it kind of depends. I'd love to see how it's going to feed into what your choice was.
Right.
Like, who you sided with. And, but, you know, the Inquisition is going to be all the mage stuff. So you're doing mage stuff.
Inquisition. What a show.
I hope they make a reference somewhere.
Even if it's just somebody who goes, here we go. I'll take that.
I will take
that.
Also, I'm seriously hoping Because if you played Dragon Age 2, then you remember Varric, who is your rogue. He's a dwarf, and he's the guy narrating. He's the one talking to this one inquisitor who is trying to figure out how the Champion of Kirkwall was even involved with everything. But in Dragon Age 2, out of everyone that you could romance, and you could pretty much romance everybody, you couldn't romance Varric. And he's the one you wanted to bone because you just heard him all the time.
Oh, was he the hot one with white hair?
No. Oh. No. No. But everyone wants to bone him, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I remember that.
Fenris.
Yeah, when you were playing that, and I was like, can you do him?
Yes, and I did all the time. Hell yeah. No, Varric was the dwarf. He was red, had red hair, and had a crossbow.
I don't think I saw him.
Okay, well, he's your narrator. He's pretty much telling the story. And the funny thing is, because he embellishes all the time, so he's an unreliable narrator, which you don't realize until halfway through the game, when the Inquisitor's like, will you stop lying to me? And he's like, I'm not lying. Embellishments are not lies. So he's unreliable, which throws the whole narrative into a big spiral of, wait a minute, this whole time I've been thinking all this stuff and maybe none of it ever actually happened. But it's, you know, it's pretty great. But he was unromanceable, like Freddie Prinze Jr.'s character in BioWare.
Aww.
In the BioWare game. Because you couldn't do Freddie Prinze Jr. Nope. You flirt with him all the time. He's like, no, Commander, I can't. I'm like, yes, you can. I order you to take off your pants.
I know. Why couldn't you do him?
Because Freddie Prinze has had say in that.
Why?
I don't know.
You should be able to do him.
Unless you look like Sarah Michelle Gellar, he didn't want your character.
Damn it.
I don't know.
Damn it.
But Varric was also one you couldn't, like, you could flirt with him all the time, but you never got the chance to romance him. I would love to see in October the chance to romance Varric.
I think you're gonna.
I wanna!
Alright, what else you got?
Another game.
Because I've been talking about E3, like, all week, and I feel like I could do at least 4 more shows on just E3, so...
You could, with all the stuff
we probably
that,
will. Let me not lie.
We're
not going to get it all in this week.
Let's talk about... What is the one I was curious about?
Call of Duty?
No. I want to talk a little bit about Sunset Overdrive.
All right.
Because, as you guys know, both me and my sister, around the same time, both got our PS4s.
Yes. Within weeks, hours of each other.
A day, at least, between you and I.
It was like...
You got yours, and then, like, 2 days later, I had my money to get mine. But
well,
so within,
technically a day later.
Well, I had to wait for it to clear. But within that week, we both got them. Ninja has had her X1 for, like, ever.
Since day one,
yeah.
Motherfucker.
And I have not had... I don't have one.
Yeah, no. That's going to get fixed, though.
And I was planning to not
that's gonna
invest
get fixed,
in one
though.
Because, you know, we're,
yeah,
we're
but that's
moving
gonna get
to the
fixed,
Esh
though.
Studio.
Yes, the Esh Studio is now moved to the second floor. See, we're moving on up.
We're moving up, and we were going to pretty much
bring
all
the new... We're still
going to. Right. But... You know, I was going to have my PS4 up here. I was going to convince her to bring her Xbox One. But now, Panda is thinking...
Panda's got to get one.
Panda's got to get
Panda,
one.
And Panda does not have to get one with the Kinect.
I don't. And I won't. I won't do it. But
we don't have any room to do anything with motion in here anyway.
But, and the reason for it, because honestly, until I saw this game, until I saw this trailer... I was pretty content with just having my PS4.
So what you're about to say is the game, Sunset Overdrive.
Sunset Overdrive
sold
is the
you
game
on the Xbox One.
Sold me on this.
Nice!
Yes. Because literally the minute that I saw it, and I saw the main character who's explaining to you what's happened and all this stuff, I'm like, you had me at, can you save this? Can you save them? Of course you can. It's a video game. It's aware of itself.
All right. So here's the thing I got to say about that. Insomniac Games has never let us down.
Never.
Okay.
Never.
They've never let us down. All right? Their stuff has always been fun.
Oh, and this looks... If this doesn't scream fun, I don't know what does.
Now, there are some people who tried it at E3, and they're like, meh. And I'm like, wait. Did you like Jet Set Radio? And I found that everybody who thought this game was meh did not like Jet Set.
Well then, that's why.
And they also did not like Lollipop Chainsaw.
Well, and here's where I have to sit on the fence with that, because I played it, And I wrote a review about Lollipop Chainsaw. And,
yes.
And it was not the most favorable review.
Correct.
I mean, I did
praise... And your reason, your main reason was?
My biggest reason was a lot of the mapping for moves were all on the same button.
Yep.
So it could confuse anyone who's not used to button mashing to do techniques.
Yes.
So it could slow down combo chains. Also, I had the issue with the fact that the game only took me 5 hours to complete.
Yes, but you were used to button mashers and Suda 51 games. So yeah.
Well, I didn't play No More Heroes.
Really?
No.
I thought you did.
Mm-mm. That's KBD's territory.
Oh, shit.
But I like his style.
I want to know what the new Suda 51 game is. Like, they're like, oh, by the way, and Suda 51's working on a game for us.
It's like, here's a trailer for it. Here's this black dude who's pretty much naked who's beating the fuck out of other people and taking their shit.
Yep.
And from I was
Suda
like,
51, I'm like, sold. Here's my money.
Take it.
There it is.
Here it is.
Like, here's my Amex. It's brand spanking new.
But anyway, so... But when I saw the trailer for Sunset Overdrive, I was like, okay. I'm like, I feel like... This is the step in. This is what Lollipop Chainsaw was trying to do, or this is what Suda 51 was aiming to do with Lollipop Chainsaw, and it fell a little flat, but not too much. Because like I said, style wise, I absolutely loved it. The comedy and the characters were
spot on in the game. Like, I love the dialogue and the play within the characters.
You
were playing the game.
Banter,
like, that was fantastic.
And it's enough to keep someone engaged and dealing with all the, you know, repetitive, and the repetitive boss fights also got to me.
I would definitely say that Lollipop Chainsaw was better than Oni Chambara.
See, I didn't play that either.
Yeah, I don't.
So I feel like this is like a spiritual
successor,
even though it's not done without it having anything to do with Suda 51.
Well, it could have been inspired by, though.
I feel like it might have been. But this was what told me, I'm like, yep, and now I have to get an Xbox One. I'm like, now I have to get the TV from the seller.
Yeah, no, seriously, you
because
need
Because they're all
seriously.
On my TV. I yes. only have 40 HDMIs, and they're all filled up.
Yeah, no, seriously.
My TV is plugged the fuck up.
Seriously, you gotta get the stuff off the table so we can get the TV up here.
Yeah.
We gotta do
it's
that.
It's gotta happen.
Yeah, you know, because we...
I mean, that also...
Because I will totally play Mario Kart 8.
I know. We gotta get,
I'll play,
get that up.
Yeah.
But Sunset Overdrive is also set for an October 2014
That's
release.
What I'm saying. I told you.
There are so many things
Seriously.
Now that are primed and ready to be the titles that we should have had at launch last year.
If Sunset Overdrive was ready, it would have moved more Xbox Ones
for Microsoft. Oh, it definitely would have.
At launch, if it had been ready.
More than
but it wasn't ready. But that's okay. So what else? What else you want to talk about?
All right, so I've talked about two things I really like. Here's something I'm not too sold on.
Uh-oh!
Yeah. And when they were first talking about it, I'm like, all right, it's about time. I'm talking about Fable.
Okay.
And then they talked about Fable Legends.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. I'm like, so we're back in Albion? No. No?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
And it's a what? It's a co-op. I'm like, co-op? Uh-huh. Yeah, I like that. RPG? What?
Yes.
What? And this coming from the girl that you know is a big fan of RPGs. She enjoys them immensely. I do not like my RPG in Fable. I don't like
Why?
It.
Why? Fables is perfectly aligned to be an RPG.
I don't feel like it meshes.
Why?
Well. It makes my stomach gurgle. And like, just...
Fucking, it started with doing things in the Heroes Guild, for fuck's sake.
I know. It is so weird.
It's primed to be an RPG.
I feel like I'm smelling a big turdlet. I get that dread, like, oh, I'm gonna smell something really nasty. Like, the minute it came on, I was like, I do not, this does not sit well. I am worried. I know that the beta is not gonna open until, the fallish time, so probably around October, November, they're gonna open up the beta, for Fable Legends. If I get one, I'll try it, but I tell you guys that, I've got a bad feeling about this. Like, bad. Like, very, very bad. Like, bad.
Why?
Just...
But you could be the villain, though.
I know, but...
Did they lose you at the moon on the stick? Is that what it was?
Maybe. Maybe. But
it's still, though.
But
it's like, perfect.
We could find...
I mean, I'm not going to play it because you know how I feel about RPGs.
I know.
But I feel like, you know, if the argument is, I don't know, Fable is an RPG, fuck that. I'm like, if Fitz is an RPG...
I don't know.
You can build your character, stats, all the different weapons that you had to go
you
on.
You would think that I'd be all for it, but I
It was basically an action RPG up until now.
Yeah, I know.
And now they just made it a fucking RPG, and you're like,
nope. 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 Give me back my action, please.
I thought this would be the one that you would have been like, yep.
No. I did not do my Panda Happy Dance. Now, I totally did do my Happy Dance for Bloodborne.
Well, you would.
Hell fucking yeah, because that game screams to me, that game literally is screaming, I'm going to punish you.
It's going to punish you.
And I'm like, yes, please.
It is, in fact, going to do that.
Please more.
So Project Beast has a name, and it's called Bloodborne.
And from the trailer, I feel like we're, like, in London-ish area. Like,
yeah.
You've got a big clock in the background.
Yeah.
It's got, and you've got this dude with this hatchet-y looking thing, kind of like a reaper.
Yeah, it does kind of look like a hatchet scythe.
Kind of, sort of.
Like a hatchet and a scythe.
And you see him taking out these elements that look kind of like fuzzy doggies, and then some that look kind of human, but obviously are not.
Zombie werewolves in London.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Zombie werewolves in Paris.
Zombie werewolves of London.
Because they're going gorillas. Huh?
All right, so I just showed my age. I went Warren Zevon. You did not.
I did not.
Moving on.
but as we're watching the trailer for this.
I got bit by a mosquito. I'm just throwing that out there.
I see you scratching it.
Yeah,
leave it alone.
I bet it's itchy.
Leave it alone.
I can't help it.
But when I saw this, I was literally watching, rewatch the trailer with Ninja, and I'm like, so is it like Jack the Ripper meets werewolves in Paris meets stuff?
It's just destruction and mayhem. So there you go.
I mean, of all places to be able to put an ominous background or like to enhance one, London is certainly the place to go. So From Software has a great direction. I am glad. I'm so glad for this. And I can't wait to sink my teeth into Bloodborne. Because I was Bloodborne to play this game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was painful.
Yeah. I'm all about it.
I mean.
All day, every day.
Really painful, though.
I mean, and there's not much to be said the fact that they're talking about another Pokemon game, because me and Pokemon, like,
I know,
what are the chances?
Y'all been down forever and every day. All day, every day.
You're laughing at my joke.
What do you
mean? Did you hear it? I said, me liking a Pokemon game, what are the chances?
Oh.
Now you laugh. I've been holding that in this whole time.
Oh, my God. Have you planned that the entire podcast?
The minute I knew there was another Pokemon game, I was like, yes.
Oh, that hurts.
What are the chances?
Hurts. That hurts so
chances
bad.
Chances are the best.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yep, it was coming.
Okay. All right. So I have to talk about this one. So Panda's scrolling through her notes of what she wants to talk about on her screen over there, and I saw this one flutter by, and we're stopping right here. So, first of all, big ups to my homeboy, Hip Hop Gamer, for helping me get exposed
hip-hop,
to this one.
Hip Hop, you the
best. Seriously, no doubt. Hip Hop Gamer,
you the best.
Fucking, if you don't know, then you better ask somebody. So, as we all know, anybody who's ever listened to any podcast episode, pretty much, ever, that we've done, I love fighting games. And one of the things that I have felt that's been missing for a while has been a great fighting game. Until we got Injustice Gods Among Us, which I said was phenomenal.
Yes.
The gameplay was fast. The characters felt balanced. I loved the way that they added on more characters and costumes. I even thought the story was really good because, you know, Superman losing his shit and then flipping the script.
Superman falling prey to the Joker.
Okay. Like,
and then losing your shit.
I loved it. And as a fighter, it was fantastic. And I wanted more like that. And what I got was Soul Calibur 5 and another Street Fighter game. Hold up.
Let's not hate on
Soul Calibur 5. I'm not hating. I'm just saying Soul Calibur 5 didn't bring it like Injustice. Can we agree?
Yes, we can agree.
Okay, and the Super Street Fighter game
What?
Both of them did not bring it like Injustice.
And then what? We had Dead or Alive 5 also around the same time as Injustice.
And
that
and
brought
I,
it a little bit more, it but did, still didn't nail
but
it.
But I still went back to Injustice to play more Injustice.
You're right.
Okay. And you and I love DOA.
I know
DOA
you
DOA 5 was really balanced and it looked great. But I felt like Injustice was much more honest to the spirit of fighting games.
Okay.
Than DOA was. You know, DOA has always been about fanciful and really and truly tag team. And I'm glad that they brought tag team back. And it felt great. Don't get me started on Tekken, because I don't know what the fuck happened there, but it was not right. And I didn't even care that it was on the Xbox, okay? Never picked it up. But when they first teased Mortal Kombat X, and we saw that poster with the spine and just the X, I was like, all right, M Panda, tell me if I'm lying. I said, if they make this gameplay like Injustice, but with the Mortal Kombat universe of characters, they can take my money fucking now.
Yep.
Guess what, guys?
The minute she had her chance.
So I dogged the Warner Brother booth from day one Tuesday. Like, I set myself up so I didn't have my first appointment on Tuesday until 1:30 in the afternoon. And I camped out at the Warner Brothers camp trying to get in to see Mortal Kombat X. Okay? I didn't worry about Witcher. I didn't worry about, because Witcher 3, Warner is releasing. I didn't worry about the Mordor game. I didn't even try to get into the Batman game. And y'all know how I feel about Batman. I was like, hey guys, I just need some time with Mortal Kombat X. That's all I need. I don't need nothing else. Just.
I will go away. Give me what I want and I will go away.
I'll go away. And they were like, look, we are booked through Thursday. You can try to come back, but. That. I'm like, all right. So I go back on Thursday. I run into Hip Hop Gamer. All of a sudden, doors open. All I'm saying is, life is good. So, went in for the presentation. Presentation was fantastic. Basically, the way that the game is set up is you can pick your character, and then you have three variants of fighting styles that you pick from for your character. Basically, one is a melee focused one, one is a ranged attack one, and one is a power, supernatural power based. Attack flavor that you can throw onto your base combat moves. So all the moves you know and love, get over here, Scorpion's Grab and Sub-Zero's Freeze and that kind of thing. All those exist for the characters, but then they have these other variants that add just a little more toxicity to the gameplay and also add more combat combo variations to your game, which can be very advantageous if you pick the right style for how you fight and go about the game. Blocking is a piece of what you want to do for sure, but the variants allow you to really kind of take your gameplay to another level. So I played in my first game Scorpion, and I won. My other four games, I did not play Scorpion. I did not win. I should not have done that. But they introduced some new characters for this demo, which haven't been in the Mortal Kombat universe at all, so I wanted to give them a try. One is Devorah, who is a insect-like female character. She has a lot of quick attacks. They don't do a lot of damage independently, but string together in succession are very, very dangerous. They also introduced Cassie Cage, who's the daughter of Johnny Cage and Sonya Blade, which is kind of interesting that that combination happened.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, I knew that Johnny was going to get down with somebody. I really didn't think
all
it was going to be Sonya Blade, but whatever, you know,
he's the James T. Kirk of Mortal Kombat.
And so she is very flexible, very nimble, but very much fights like her mother, Sonya Blade, which is good. And then they also introduced a character that I like akin to Master Blaster from the Mad Max movies, because it's a brute with a small character on its back that basically directs it and drives it. So that's Tora and Farah. And they're all very, very visceral fighters, which is cool, which is what you expect in a Mortal Kombat game. But it moves and I think runs on an engine very similar to Injustice. And so the detail that was there just reminds me of that game. It is fast, it is furious, it is vicious. X-rays are back. So as you complete different combos, you will get the slowdown of time and you will X-ray into the body and watch the bones that you are destructing in your combo.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, with very, very almost bone curdling noises.
Yeah, there was that one, I think, with the Tora and Farah, where I think because in the demo that they were showing, the fighting that they showed them versus Devorah, and the brute is holding her, and the little one's like, now it's my turn, and she's just punching into her ribs.
Yeah.
You see all of them, like, breaking and mm-hmm. shattering. And I was like, oh, man, that, ow, that hurts. That hurts. Yeah. That hurts my guts.
Yeah. So that was impressive, to say the least. So I was extremely happy to see that back. Fuck yeah, Mortal Kombat. Can't wait.
So then, I guess the last thing for me.
Yep.
When I saw the trailer for it, I actually thought it was not this game. So it was a dude in a white jogging suit, and he's running.
Yep.
And, like, everything seems kind of normal, and then all of a sudden just...
Okay, so before you get into it, what game did you think that it was for?
I thought it was going to be another Left 4 Dead.
Oh.
That's where I thought we were going with this. So, and here's this dude, white. You know, he's a health guru, he's got his head on billboards, and he's just running, he's got earbuds in, white, innocent, assuming.
It's a happy day for the white dude running down by the beach.
Until all of a sudden, in the back corner, you see somebody fall over and another person walk over to him, and then that person on the floor leaping onto the person who had come to assist. You're like, that doesn't seem normal. And more of these things in the background, because the guy who's running is just so wrapped up in himself that he doesn't see the world around him decaying. And then all of a sudden, he begins to decay. And he becomes a zombie. In which, as he's running, he then is in a horde of zombies, and this car comes out of nowhere, a van comes out of nowhere, and runs over a slew of them, including this man in the white jumpsuit-y thing. And one of the guys sees his shoes, because they're apparently brand new kicks. And this guy's like, oh, yeah, man! And Tori, like, takes the dude's feet with the shoes on them and hops back in the van and piles off. And then we get Dead Island 2. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. So it's not Left 4 Dead. That's fine. I'll take that. I'll take a Dead Island. I see you, Deep Silver. I see you.
Yeah, she sees you with your zombies and ish.
I see yous. And I can't wait. Because, I mean, I didn't play Riptide yet. And I feel like I probably would...
Don't. You don't need to.
Okay.
Just go to 2.
All right. Because I was going to say, I feel like Riptide would probably have hinted at...
No.
Did you ask? Did you talk to anybody?
Just go right to 2.
All
right,
fine.
Trust me, I got it from verified, honest sources. Just go on ahead and go to 2.
Okay, great. So so then I will obviously be devouring Dead Island 2. We're not getting that until 2015, but that is something I'm willing to wait for.
Aww. Such the lady you are, Panda.
And those are all the big things, I think, that I...
At least for this week. We got probably like 3 more weeks of E3 stuff that we're going to talk about. I'm not joking. There's so much to talk about. There's Square Enix stuff to talk about. And we didn't even get to Bethesda.
No.
Okay.
But we already know that I'm madly in love with The Evil Within, so...
You don't even know how much you're in love with The Evil Within.
No, I totally am.
I went hands-on with it. Trust me. Trust me.
I can't wait.
Literally got to a point, I was like, nope, no more. I'm good. Nope, I got enough. And they're like, oh, but you didn't even finish. I was like, nope, I got enough. I have enough to write what I need to write. I'm good.
Well, what?
I need to go out to the light now. Can I go? Can I please leave the dark room now?
Oh, did they put you in the dark room?
Yep.
Did they leave you in there alone?
Nope.
That was very
So you went to the dark. You went to a dark room to play. All right, and there was like lights in the back, and there were people there to help. You know, like if you got stuck and stuff, to figure out where you need to go. But the guy who was helping me, like, he would come in and say what he needed to do, and then he'd, like, go away. And so I'd be, like, playing, and I'd be stuck, and I, you know, they were using Astro headsets, which, you know, A50s are noise canceling. So I never heard the guy coming up, so I'm in the dark playing the game.
Right.
And every time I get stuck, all of a sudden this guy would be like, well, if you just do like this, like, over my ear, I'm like, no, bad, no, don't do that, bad, no. I know you're trying to help, but no. And so finally he stopped trying to help me because every time he came over,
you were jumping.
He'd see me jump. So I got to this one place in the demo, and I was like, you know what? Nope.
Can you tell me?
Okay, so, and you're in this weird hospital, mental hospital.
Yes.
Bad shit has gone down, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it is a true horror game in that ammo is scarce, and melee attacking enemies does not kill them. It just gives you some time. It knocks them down. The only way to kill them is to light them on fire or stab them in the fucking head repeatedly. That's the only way you do it. You don't always have matches to light them on fire.
So you mostly taking it to the face?
So you really have to learn to fucking hide. Okay.
All right.
If there's an option to hide, fucking hide.
So then,
because you don't have a lot of bullets to begin with, and you don't find bullets all the fucking time, and you don't always have fucking matches. So sometimes you just need to get under the bed and don't fucking move.
All right.
Don't.
Oh wait,
move.
Wait. Now are you speaking that there were beds for you to hide under?
Because, in some rooms,
because that is an element that they didn't really fine tune until Outlast.
Yeah, no. In some rooms, there are beds that you can get under, and you really, really should. So that things, you know, come in, and then they go about their business, and you don't have to fuck with them, Boxhead. So.
Oh, Mr. Boxhead.
All right? So, because sometimes you don't want to fuck with that.
Well, I'm just saying, because, like, in Outlast, which I haven't played yet. I'm planning to buy it off the PSN to get it. I watched a playthrough of it, and the thing about hiding under the bed in Outlast was, if you were being pursued and you're under a bed and you get followed into this room, that some of the AI is smart enough to look under beds.
Yeah.
Is Mr. Boxhead smart enough to look under bed?
I don't know, because I didn't get that far. So. So, I don't know. I'm going to guess. Yes.
I would assume.
Okay. So, the part that I was like, no. All right. So, there's a mad scientist, surprise, surprise, in this place, who's doing research into fear in the human being. And you come across his lab and, like, all these documents and some recordings and things like that, and realize that he's trying to find the sensor in the brain that triggers fear in order to use fear to motivate and control people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a somewhat decapitated, because I feel like it's shoulders up, so it's not just completely, as
I recall.
Like,
it's nearly headless Nick holding his head together by punching, maybe?
So it's shoulders up, a head that is in this cast iron type restraint on a table, and you think that it's just a dead head. It's not. It's open. The brain is open, and somehow the person is being sustained. The way that you have to figure out the puzzle to get out of the room is that you have to take a spike.
Uh-huh. And shove it into the brain?
Not shove it, but you have to find the fear sensor part of the brain to then manipulate that, and the head fucking reacts while you do it. If you don't do it fast enough, you alert things to your place because the head is
screaming.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, so at that point I was like, you know what? Fucking shit. So I finally get it in and I turn around and there's a fucking thing there. And I was like, no! No!
A box head?
No, it's not box head. It's other things, okay? I told you. I didn't make it a box head, and I'm really okay with that. You don't even understand.
Because box head is awesome.
No!
Because box head will randomly, sometimes, like, you can fight him when he's got his full body, but some of them will twist off, break their own heads, and snap them off, and then you have to fight just the box. And the box will, like, latch onto your face, so you have to, like, get it off before it, like, tries to eat your face.
Yeah, no. No, didn't. Different thing. And you know what? I'm okay with it. So well, after
how
that,
how scary was
so,
it?
So no. So after that, I was like, pause. I'm done. Thank you so much for your time today. And they're like, oh, you didn't even finish the level. I was like, no, I'm good. I have everything I need to write my piece. I'm all set. I'd like to go into the light now. No, I want to go to the happy place. And then they took me to Battle Cry, and I was like, oh, I feel much better now. Now I'm just going to go, and I'm going to go look at the Legoland stuff for a minute. And everything Disney is Infinity. Awesome. I'm going to go to Disney Infinity, and then I'm going to be okay, because the world is a bright place, and there are people. And it was just a video game.
It's just a video game.
I felt so much better after that.
Good.
So that's all you, Panda, because
Oh, I can't wait.
Ninja tapped out. Call me pussy, say whatever you want to say. I tapped out.
Hey, bro.
I win. Okay?
You win.
I did it for you.
You win.
I'm not doing that again.
Represent.
And I'm only watching you play in the summertime in the brightest of brights. That's it.
Good to know.
You better have the brightness fucking turned up on that game, too. I'm not. No. Some more E3 stuff to come on subsequent podcasts, which you will find on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You will also find the podcast in the iTunes Music Store and iOS podcast application by searching for Eshcast Electric Sisterhood and subscribing. You can also find us in the Microsoft Store. You will hear this podcast on the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, Tuesday nights right before Anime Jam Session. Make sure that you check out some of the other amazing shows and coverage of E3 and other events like Dragon Con over at Vogue. We love the team there. Make sure you check it out. You can also check out all of our written reviews. We've got our live tweets from the media briefings and a bunch of articles already for things that we've covered at E3 on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Make sure that you subscribe to our page over there so that the moment we put out new articles, you'll grab them. You can check out feature pieces, review pieces, preview pieces. It's all going down there, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Bookmark it, subscribe, make it your favorite place because it's ours. Be sure to check out the other shows that fly under the Land of Esh banner, like No Borders, No Race, Held Down by a Homeboy and KBD. If you're into indie, whether it's J-pop, K-pop, or just great indie bands, music, movies, and entertainment, then it's going to happen over at No Borders, No Race, b3crew.com. Check it out. On Wednesdays, if you're into EDM, trap, and things that go bump in your face, then make sure that you check out Geek Aggro, hosted by our homeboy Deuces Wild, because it's a mix you don't want to miss. And then on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guys Issues Program, call in live, chat, video, kind of cool, all over the place. Random is as random does. Make sure you check it out. We love the Issues Program, and you will too. So, for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh. Ask us questions. Let us know if there's something you want us to review or share our opinion on. We'll make sure it gets on a podcast or just answer your question right there on the page. You can also find links to all of our articles across everything we do on the web, even podcasts that we crash and guest host on and that kind of thing. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at ESH News for all the news from the entirety of the team on things that we're writing about, talking about, playing, all that good shit. You'll find it there. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. For the entirety of the team, the individual cast, you can go to my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list and follow everyone involved with ESH, because we will improve your Twitter streams. I guarantee it. So with that said, the business is done. I'm going to turn to my sister and I'm going to say, yo, sis.
Hey.
What shit you digging this week?
I am digging zombies.
Why am I not surprised?
Zombies, and Rhythm Heaven Fever. But mostly zombies.
Okay.
What are you digging?
I'm digging E3 because I had a ballin' ass time, and I ended my show with a picture with Cliffy B, who, you know, is one of my heroes in the industry. So I can't even be mad. Well, E3 2014, you were bitching, enjoyed it. You'll hear more about it from me and from my sister. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next week, guys.
Adios.